we've supported fully the implementation of ATSAP and the implementation of a just safety culture within the FAA. We think it's a step forward in the way we look at and approach safety reporting and dealing with safety issues in the agency. But along the way, it was deployed very, very quickly, initially in just a couple key site facilities. And then once, you know, they got the satisfactory reports there, it was deployed nationwide very, very quickly. So I think it outpaced the learning curve of our managers a little bit. And there is a perception of a little bit of procedural barriers to dealing with performance issues. And I think one of the most positive things about this program is it's trying to move us out of the reactionary world. It's focused on reacting to singular events and managing performance 100% of the time. Now, this is a challenge in the FAA, in particular because frontline managers who do the majority of our performance oversight and performance management of air traffic controllers spend themselves about 90% of their time actively working a position. And that position would be the frontline manager position in the operation providing direct oversight. So that limits their ability to do 100% of the time performance observations and management. So whenever an event occurs now, it's different than in the past where we would quickly react to the event. Now we are encouraged to slow down, take a more objective look at it, which, you know, on its surface is a good thing. And I will commend the FAA because the FAA has stepped up its training to managers around the country. But I would encourage them to continue to do that. Cultural change is not easy. When managers have been in the system for 5, 10, 15, 20, and many of us, you know, I'm going on my 30 years already, you become ingrained with a style of management, with a way of dealing with issues. Sure. And changing those cultural habits takes time, and it takes repetition.
We're speaking with David Conley. He is the president of the FAA Managers Association. So give us an example of what type of report might occur and how now, under the new system, the FAA would react.
Let's say, for example, two aircraft are allowed to get inadvertently too close. In the past, we would react to that, call it, label it an operational error fairly quickly, and we would more than likely administer some form of retraining almost immediately to that particular controller. And we have detection programs in the center that detect these types of violations automatically using automation. The procedure today has morphed quite a bit, and we get these same type of automatic reports. And what happens is we do a cursory investigation of that, and then that investigation is continued, not inside the facility, but continued outside the facility by a quality assurance staff. And then on the controller side, the controller will self-report that incident if they were aware that they actually had a violation. And they would self-report that and then be granted total immunity to be able to speak freely about what occurred during that particular event. Now, the advantage that we have under the ATSAP program is the controller is going to be speaking very, very freely about what was going on, what they were thinking at the time, what type of distractions were in the environment. In the past, controllers may not be so forthcoming. So it's very good that we have controllers talking more freely about these types of incidences. I think the challenge is what do we do with the voluminous amounts of reports?
That was my question. How often a year does this occur?
We're averaging, and this is just some rough math and what I'm being told, about 70 reports a day.
Wow.
So, and not all these are serious safety events. Occasionally, something may happen, but these are everything from minor transgressions to just concerns that an employee may have. And it is a perspective. It's a perspective from the controller. It doesn't mean that an objective evaluation would rule this as a serious safety event. But in any case, there's so many reports coming in. And like I said, right at 50,000 of these, what does the FAA do with all of this data and how do they analyze it and use it effectively? They've got a laundry list of things and improvements that they have already made using the program. But there is a real challenge when you get that many reports and just managing that. It takes a lot of staff to read the reports, then to review them all, and then to classify them, and then to identify trends. It's a lot of work for the agency. And so I think that's part of the challenge.
And what about the implementation of the new next-gen system? That's in a couple of airports, and that's going to come on in the years ahead. How might that be affected by this new process of non-punitive review?
Well, hopefully it'll make it better. And that's one thing I can say here. Whether the FAA Managers Association, which represents the career FAA managers in the system who have actually been performing the jobs, we all came up through the ranks. And so we know our field. We know our discipline, and we know what it's like managing within the system. So when we present our views, we might not always agree with the official line that's coming out from the agency, but I think the important part is that we continue talking about these things. We should be just as open to talking about the system itself as we are the particular errors or occurrences that happen within the system, because our goal within the FAA Managers Association, within FAA, is to make a safer, more efficient system.
And recently there was a serious incident in Gulfport for the FAA. How does this new system deal with that, or are there bigger issues than the NATSIP system?
Well, anytime there's a serious event that occurs in the system, we want to know everything that happened there. And our interest there is identifying the problems and correcting the problems as soon as possible. But the most effective way of dealing with safety issues in the system is not post-incident. It's in the preventative scale. And I think probably one of the biggest impacts that the FAA needs to take a look at here is our level of supervisory oversight. Direct oversight in the air traffic control operation, standing behind our men and women who are performing air traffic control in our towers, in our radar approach controls, in our en route radar facilities. Because these people play a key, important role in support for the air traffic controllers in the air traffic control system. And a lot of our facilities, such as Gulfport, are understaffed in our view in terms of frontline manager oversight. In the case of Gulfport, where you have about 14 or 15 air traffic controllers with 11 or so trainees, which are controllers in training, with only two frontline managers providing oversight. Now, this is a facility that's open, as I understand, 7 days a week, about 16, 18 hours a day. Two frontline managers are not enough to provide the direct oversight in the operation, not to mention the administrative workload that's upon them. So in a facility such as that, if we use that for an example, there needs to be increased numbers of frontline managers to help support the men and women who are the air traffic controllers in the system. And Congress supports this. The Department of Transportation, IG, supports this. And I believe the air traffic organization leadership also supports this. We just need to get over the hump.